Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, it did become official yesterday. The Chibolate Marines of the NPB officially posted pitcher Roky Sasaki to Major League Baseball, opening the 45-day window in which he can negotiate with all 30 teams. It'll be open until January 23rd. And sign a contract for the major league or minor league, just minor league contract, but with a, you know, international signing bonus that is capped based on the pools of the teams. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods, hour number two here on 97.3 The Fan. And the Padres are clearly all in the Roky Sasaki sweepstakes that have now opened up. We will see how that plays out over the next couple of months. It is still widely believed that Sasaki will not actually sign until January 15th, but that doesn't stop him from making a decision whenever he wants. Some people think he made it years ago, that he was going to the Dodgers no matter what. Some people think that he will make his decision over the next few weeks, you know, based on the information that he gets. But you know, the speculation at the winter meetings, Woods, and Sammy talked to some of the insiders there. It feels like the Padres and the Dodgers are the two teams that at least have the starting position advantage over the rest of baseball in the race to land Roky Sasaki. You're hearing the same things?
Yeah, hearing the same things. And I, you know, I don't know enough about how the inner workings go. Is it now, since he's been posted, is it now time to do the dance, right?
It is.
Is now the, hey, come up to our room. I'm going to show you all the Japanese I've learned. I'm going to pitch you. This is the pitch.
Well, this is, and A.J. Preller, Sammy actually talked to A.J. Preller about what the dance is going to look like. And let's play that cut first, because A.J. did describe the process, and he said pretty much that, you know, it's Roky's process, not ours, but we'll be ready whenever he is ready to start that process.
AJ Roky Sasaki officially posted available for MLB clubs as of this morning. Can you speak to the kind of priority that Sasaki is for your organization in particular?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, he's one of the elite talents in the world, you know, and I think really dating back to, you know, 17, 18 years old, we've been tracking and following and scouting Roky, and you know, it's just exciting to see one of the best talents in the game, somebody that, you know, I've had a chance to see both an MPB and the World Baseball Classic. Now, you know, wanting to come to the big leagues and, you know, show the world he's one of the best pitchers in the game. And you know, I think as an organization, we'll be very prepared, but very excited to sit down and kind of hear his thoughts on his situation. Hope we connect soon.
There's been obviously a lot of talk about his posting, but now that it's here, what can you share with us with in regards to what that process now may look like between him and his representation?
Yeah, I think it's his process. So I think that, from our standpoint, we'll be prepared and ready to ask questions. But ultimately, you know, for Roki and his representatives, Joel Wolf and Wasserman, you know, they're going to kind of set the guidelines of what it's about. And I think for us, we're just super excited to just talk about, you know, City of San Diego, the fan base, you know, our thirst for a championship, our team that, you know, feel like as good as any team in the game, you know, over the last 12 months. And, you know, but ultimately just hear from Roki how he wants to handle and you know, and his group, how they want to handle the process, and we'll be ready to talk at the right time.
So that's a little preview of the pitch that, you know, Roki Sasaki is going to get from the San Diego Padres. Look at Petco Park. Look at our fans. Look at the passion in San Diego. Your opportunity to make a mark in Major League Baseball. Look at our team. Who you'll be playing with? Yu Darvish, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., the guys that we put together. We've been in the playoffs. There are a lot of compelling reasons for Roki Sasaki to want to play for the San Diego Padres. My concern, and this comes from the discussion we just had, though, about payroll. If you're Roki Sasaki and you hear about, well, there's, you know, financial limitations. Now, it's not for you. It doesn't matter. You're not getting any of that money. You're not eligible to get any of that money for years and years and years. But you also don't necessarily want to join a team that feels handcuffed to a certain payroll and, you know, a lack of flexibility to add players.
Question. So let's say he does decide that he wants to go to the Los Angeles Dodgers, right? And it's all the international bonus money is around the same. What is the number? About $7 million.
For the Dodgers, it's five. The Padres have about six and a half that they can offer. Yeah.
For how many years?
Just a signing bonus. Or just for one signature.
But how many years of control?
Six.
Okay. So could they, the Dodgers, say, Roki, we'd love to have you. Obviously, look what we've built. Look what we're building. The future's bright. Here's your six and a half, five and a half. The day he signs that contract, can they give him a 10-year deal for $700 million?
I don't think so.
$600 million
deferred. I think they are prevented from doing that by the international. So I don't know what the period is, okay, but I don't think they can do that.
Okay. Otherwise, there would be no point in the process.
You just offer him as much as you want.
By the way, just sign here. We're going to give you a 10-year deal, $700 million.
Here's your bonus. Here's your minimum. Oh, we'd like to extend you on a 15-year deal for $700 million. There'd be no point to this process. So yeah. I believe there are rules against that the Dodgers or any other team cannot offer that.
I wonder when that ends. How many years do you have to pitch before you can get a long-term deal for actual real money?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I don't imagine it would be the full six. I mean, if he has five good years, you know, the team that signs him should be able to extend him if they wanted to do that. But I don't think it's not instantaneous, that's for sure. You can't simply just cancel that first contract 5 minutes later and sign him to a gigantic deal.
Okay.
But, you know, if you do want to go somewhere long-term, and that is something you're thinking about, obviously, the Dodgers would have plenty of money. Now, you could always sign with any team and then sign with the Dodgers in a few years with your next big deal if that's where you want to go. And you probably will want to cash in a gigantic amount when you hit free agency if you're doing well. But, you know, that's not how the process is at least supposed to work.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, you know, you also know for sure that the Dodgers are going to be at the top of the market, very competitive, almost certainly in the playoffs every year. And, you know, with the Padres, I think you can feel decent about their chances, and you probably help those chances considerably if you do sign. And, you know, you have a bigger impact on the Padres if you go than you do on the Dodgers, where, again, you're just another piece in their giant puzzle of superstars. You know, and I think that's a personal preference for Roki Sasaki that he's going to have to decide on himself.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, listen, I do find it amusing that everybody thinks it's just the Padres and the Dodgers. I mean, I think the Cubs will make a severe, serious push for him. I think the New York Yankees will make a serious push for him. I think the Toronto Blue Jays. I think there's a bunch of teams that have...
There's no reason not to.
There's literally zero reason.
Other than, you know, putting a little time in, you know, putting together your presentation, hosting him. I mean, it's... The reward is absolutely worth whatever risk. That effort is. There's very little risk. There's a huge potential reward if he decides that he wants to pitch for your team for the next 6 years.
For sure.
All right, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Don't go yet. I want to play the, while we wait for callers, I want to play the Mike Shildt audio. Because, well, you heard A.J. Preller's kind of moderate, hey, you know, Roki's going to control the process and we're just going to play by his rules pitch. Mike Shildt was much more optimistic, as he tends to be, speaking with MLB Network Radio about the possibility of the Padres signing Roki Sasaki.
Should be very legitimate contenders. We'd fully expect to be right in the mix and actually at the end of the day, you know, have Sasaki a Padre.
Yeah.
You know, we've got AJ's done a tremendous job. The organization's done a tremendous job of making sure that we're very relevant internationally. You know, our roster speaks to it. You know, we have a bunch of, you know, we've got, you know, obviously Darvish, and we've got, you know, Yuki from Japan. We had Kimi over from Korea. And, you know, we multicultural club that, you know, is open to that. I know, you know, I mean, heck, AJ speaks Japanese. You know, he worked on learning Japanese to, you know, recruit, you know, Otani years ago. And I know they got really close there. So, you know, we got Nomo in the organization that you know, clearly is well-respected rightfully in Japan. So we've got a lot of inroads, you know, to get to Sasaki and make that happen. And I know we're going to put the full court press to make it happen. And you know, we're very optimistic.
Wow. All right. I don't know if I feel better or worse.
You don't like talking about things.
Big jinx guy. Huge jinx
Other people
guy.
Would say, hey, you know, if you want something to happen, you speak it into existence and, you know, act like you think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So definitely two schools of thought on that.
I think that works when you're, like, taking an AB or, like, making a free throw or hitting a golf shot. But when you're talking about going up against the Dodgers for a, you know, potential superstar game changer, conversely, Dave Roberts, when asked about this, was like, I'm not talking about him. He's a great player. And I was like, oh, God. That, to me, said, oh, we got him. That's how I'm wired. When I heard that, I went, oh, he's playing that.
I don't know. I don't necessarily would like to be a team that goes, yeah, we'll throw our hat in a ring and see what happens.
I mean, That's not what he said. He goes, no, I'm not going to comment about Roki Sasaki.
No, I know. But, you know, I mean, the other end of the spectrum, I kind of like the Padres, you know, confidence and swagger in this case. I mean, you're competing against a team, plenty of swag, you know, there's plenty of swagger with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You have to show some of it yourself if you want to land a player like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely look at it both ways. So I see your perspective. You
know, like, what I don't like doing is saying something that could absolutely come back to bite you in the ass later. You know what I'm saying? And it's not really Shilty's way to do that. So maybe he does know, I'm sure he knows a lot more than we do, but you know, these things can change, man, at the last minute. Again, it's not going to be a money issue with Roki. It's going to be a comfortability issue, a place where he feels like he can do the most with his career. I mean, it's a big, big decision for this young man who has been through the ringer in his life, you know, losing people that were near and dear to him in that tsunami. I mean, he's been through it, man. There's no question. He's a young man coming over to a new country to pitch in a new league with all the pressure in the world squarely on his shoulders. It's a huge decision.
Remember, if he just wanted immediate financial success, he'd just wait 2 years and
Correct.
Come over like Yamamoto did. So that's not what is driving him and motivating him. And you got to keep that in mind in your pursuit of Roki Sasaki.
100%.
All right, let's get to it. It is time to play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
Take on Woods, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. We got some contestants on the line randomly selecting. Is this Jason?
this is. Good morning.
Jason, good morning. You are a contestant today on Take on Woods, and you've got a chance to qualify for our prize here in December. It is a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas in March, plus two tickets to Hoop Central. The Westgate, featuring their newly redesigned $70 million in room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun, and experience the craziness, you know, the madness in the month of, you know, March, as only the Westgate can, with high-definition screens, luxury seating, table service, and access to all the best gaming action in a smoke-free environment. For tickets, go to WestgateResorts.com. All right, here are your categories for Take on Woods today. Still have prog rock, progressive rock bands, all the Who's in Whoville, that is songs that start with the word Who's. And we've got a bunch of things, five song titles that include the word things. Prog rock, all the Who's in Whoville, or a bunch of things, Jason. What would you like to play?
Whoville.
All the Who's in Whoville. Very Dr. Seuss of me. Today's Take on Woods has five answers that all start with the word Who's, as in W-H-O apostrophe S, Who's. 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, you can pass. We'll come back to it. First question's the two-second song. Paul, you'll play the music. You need to give me the song title. Starts with Who's and the artist to score that point. Jason, are you ready to play?
Let's play.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. The category, all the Who's in Whoville. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Jason. Let's take on Woods.
Pat.
Madonna sings Quien es esa niña, the title in Spanish of which 1987 song?
Who's that girl?
Correct. El DeBarge left the rest of the DeBarge family when he recorded which solo single in 1986 that appeared in the movie Short Circuit?
Pat, I know that.
Brand New Life was the name of the theme song for which 80s sitcom starring Tony Danza and Judith Light?
Who's the boss?
Correct. Long before video conferencing was a thing, Aretha Franklin recorded which hit that was the title track to her 30th album in 1985?
Who's there?
All right, go back to our two-second song.
Oh, I'm getting killed here. Journey.
Yep.
God,
oh, you got two. You were right. I think it was on the tip of your tongue. That's Who's Crying Now,
dude.
By
Thank
Journey.
God darn it.
That's all right. Two is okay. It's a tough category. You got Who's That Girl and Who's the Boss. Who's Johnny from Short Circuit, El DeBarge. And Who's Zoomin' Who is your Aretha Franklin video conferencing song. So those are your answers. Let's bring Woods back in. He remains in the dark about our category today. Jason's score is locked in. Put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Jason.
Who's Crying Now, Journey?
Correct. Madonna sings Quien es esa niña, the title in Spanish of which 1987 song?
Pass.
El DeBarge left the rest of the DeBarge family when it recorded which solo single in 1986 that appeared in the movie Short Circuit?
What's the category? Pass.
Brand New Life was the name of the theme song for which 80s sitcom starring Tony Danza and Judith Light?
Who's the Boss?
Correct. Long before video conferencing was a thing, Aretha Franklin recorded which hit that was the title track to her 30th album in 1985?
What is the freaking category? Go back to the second.
Madonna sings Quien es esa niña, the title in Spanish of which 1987 song?
Who's That Girl?
Correct. El DeBarge left the rest of the DeBarge family when it recorded which solo single in 1986 that appeared in the movie Short Circuit?
I don't know.
Long before video conferencing was a thing, Aretha Franklin recorded which hit that was the title track to her 30th album in 1985?
Who's taint is this?
You got Who's. You figured it out.
It's Who's.
You got the win, though, 3-2.
All right, so it's Who's?
Who's Crying Now? Who's the Boss? Who's That Girl? Who's Johnny?
Oh,
is El DeBarge.
Johnny,
God. Don't disassemble Johnny Five. And Who's Zoomin' Who?
Oh, I don't remember
is
that
the,
one.
You'd recognize it if you heard it, but yeah, that was not about Zoom. That was Aretha.
Man.
Who's Zooming who?
I don't remember it.
You probably would remember it if you heard it, actually. But you won. You won. You won again. You're good. You're good. The category was all the Who's in Whoville.
All right.
All right, we'll have another category tomorrow for you. Another chance to qualify for the Westgate and College Basketball March Package.
Did you like Who's the Boss?
I did like Who's the Boss.
Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss? Who's the Boss will be back in a moment. Stick around.
Well,
that's how they ended. Angela?
He was a minor league baseball player.
Yeah, Cardinals,
which always,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
I liked that,
yeah,
too. And it's also the reason I liked Cheers, because you had Mayday Malone, former closer,
right,
for the Red Sox. I love when they would weave Magnum P.I. was a,
that's right,
Detroit Tigers farmhand, I believe.
That's right. Always had his Tigers hat on.
Why did they do that?
I don't
Why
know.
Did they always weave?
Apparently to attract people like us.
Like us.
To show.
Yeah. It was a huge deal. Angela. Did they end up together?
Yes, they did. In the finale, they finally, after
many
seven or eight seasons, finally realized they were in love.
Feels
in
real good,
like the last
it?
Episode.
Oh,
they got together.
Loved Alyssa Milano, Sam, probably my first crush.
Sam, and then nerdy little Jonathan.
Little nerd Jonathan.
Yeah.
What's that guy up to?
It's a good question.
I wonder if he's still around. Check
Where
him
are child celebrities now? Normally, they go on to live very healthy.
Yes,
and normal,
well-adjusted lives.
Those child celebrity actors.
True. True.
Every once in a while, maybe a bad apple.
Well, yeah, maybe yeah, once in a while.
Wonder how he's doing.
All right, we'll come back with a little "Don't Do This" in our next segment.
What is going on in Philadelphia? They're winning, and the entire organization is crumbling.
Yeah,
what is happening?
I was seeing that story. I go, this sounds like a team that's lost six of their last seven games. Not. That's 1-9 in a row.
It's absolutely insane,
yeah,
what is happening in Philly.
All right, that's coming up next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Feels like it's been a very chaotic morning here on Ben and Woods.
It has been, for sure.
Have our StreamYard streaming issues, and new people keep coming into our YouTube chat just to see our smiling faces. Smile, everybody.
We have no audio.
But they have no audio, so all they do is see us.
The next person that seriously says, hey, there's no audio, I'm banning them.
Paulie's losing his mind.
I might fight them later this afternoon.
Yes, we know there's no audio on our YouTube stream. Please.
So don't do this for us, but it's not our fault.
I would say, go to the Odyssey app, turn on your radio. But again, if you can't hear me saying that, it doesn't do you any good. So I don't really know what to do. It's not
Now it says it's back, and I can't tell
not
if
our
joking
issue.
With us or not.
I think they're joking. No, it's back. I think it's back. Oh, welcome back, everybody on YouTube. You made it just in time for Don't Do This. Whole morning's been kind of
but
here we go. And I will start, Woodsy, in baseball. And an interesting story from The Athletic yesterday. Everyone was scratching their heads when the Oakland A's signed Luis, not Oakland A's, the A's signed Luis Severino to play in Sacramento, going, oh, well, that's kind of unfortunate for the Oakland fans, who now, you know, their team is starting to spend money, $67 million contract, but there appears to be an ulterior motive for the A's to sign Luis Severino. It's not to
necessarily attract fans in Sacramento or put together a, you know, a winning team on the field, the reason most, you know, clubs sign talented players, it's that they spend so little money that they have opened themselves up to a potential players' union grievance. It has to do with the amount of revenue sharing a team gets. And if you're not spending that revenue sharing money on improving your product, then the union can file a grievance. And if you're at a certain threshold, the onus would be on the team to prove that we are actually trying to win. And the A's would, I think, fare very poorly with a neutral arbitrator who going, really, you're trying...
You're trying to win, really, huh? Well, we just signed Luis Severino.
So they have to get to a certain minimum amount.
So it's
to,
like a floor,
to
kind
prevent
of.
That. Yeah, it's a bit of a floor for them, at least.
So, legitimately, they got a phone call from Major League Baseball and said, hey, guys, we know that you're embroiled in this big move, and there's another move potentially in your future. You're moving into a new ballpark. But you got to spend some money in free agency. You have to do it. And they said, Severino. And we'll give him way more than he's worth, way more than we've ever spent on anybody before. That's insane.
Baseball's collective bargaining agreement requires teams to carry a payroll more than 1.5 times the amount they receive from local revenue sharing.
Yeah.
So if you get $50 million in revenue share, you need to spend at least $75 million on your team, or the players' union can file that grievance. Guess what? Even after Severino, the A's aren't there yet. They still have to spend another $25 million or more on next year's roster before they're in the clear, according to Evan Drellick from The Athletic.
I'm not kidding. When I saw yesterday, I was watching MLB Network, and the two most interesting interviews for me were the Rockies GM and the A's GM, and they had them both on. And you feel bad for them, right? A little bit. You feel like, you know, what are you guys going to work on? When this guy was trying to sell the planet that Sacramento is going to be 1,000 rabid Athletics fans next year, and that it's going to be a really tough place for teams to come in and play. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I couldn't believe it. I said, bro, this is... I mean, and maybe they'll get some fans there at Sacramento. They don't really have... never had big league baseball there. But to say that this is going to be, hey, man, people are not going to like to come in here and play this team is... I feel like that's gaslighting, by the way. I feel like I was being gaslit.
By the way, speaking of revenue sharing, the Major League Baseball did approve an extra $15 million yesterday to teams that had lost their TV contract the last couple of years. Now, they didn't specify which teams, but the Padres are believed to be among that group eligible for the extra $15 million payment for losing their television deal.
Got it. All right, so maybe an extra 15 mil.
Possible.
Coming our way.
Yeah.
So the Philadelphia Eagles, man, 11-2 on the season. Yeah, they had a bit of a rough game against Carolina Panthers. They did not cover, but they did end up winning the game. And you know, you see this stuff every year. Star wide receiver A.J. Brown was not happy after the game, after a win, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But they asked him, hey, what can this team improve on? And he said, passing. And they said, he goes, everything else can be fixed. Passing. He was targeted just 4 times. I think he had 43 yards. Said it's incredibly tough to get into a rhythm when they're so run focused, blah, blah, blah. So, right then, it's kind of a red flag, right? Like, we just won a football game. We're trying to win a Super Bowl here. So, after another teammate kind of took it upon himself, Brandon Graham, and he said, well, clearly, there's a problem between the quarterback, 1, and the receiver, 11. Listen to his audio when he went on WIP yesterday.
The person that's complaining need to be accountable. And I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he noticed. He, you know, I don't know the whole story, but I know that 1 is trying. And I mean,
that hurts.
11 could be a little better with how he responds to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed, and I understand that because life happens. But we gotta, it's the business side that we have to make sure that we don't let the personal get in the way of the business, and that's what we gotta do better as right now, because we know it's an issue. Everybody's seen some things, but we need to be able to talk things out as men. You know what I'm saying?
The gist of it then is essentially, yeah, you know, you can see it. They used to be tight. They're not tight anymore. Well, now, have you seen the walk back? As of this morning, it was actually less than 3 hours after he went on and said 1 and 11 are dueling. He said, I got it all wrong. He said, I assumed about their friendship, made me look even worse because I had it all wrong. Now people are going to run with that part. Well, they are because you said it live on the radio. That's not the media's fault. Now everyone's blaming the media in Philly. He said it on the radio. I really just want to win, man. What bothers me, and I want brothers to be able to hash it out. I'm going to make sure I apologize to both of them. So he stepped in it. He stepped in it after...
I don't know that Brandon Graham was wrong. This smacks to me of, all right, you just stepped in it. Now you need to go fix it. Say whatever you need to say, but we don't need stories about, you know, beef between our quarterback and wide receiver out there. So you go and lie, and you tell them everything's okay, and you're sorry, and you incorrectly
read the room
spoke.
Wrong.
I read the room wrong.
Well, and then, hey, when in doubt, just blame the media for what I'm telling you. Like, after that, after a win, Ben, do you agree? After a win, it should not be about how many catches did I get and how many targets did I. We just won a game in the NFL. It's not easy to do, and we've won 11 of them. Like, everything's good, man. Did we get the dub? We did. Great. I saw Deebo Samuel tweeting yesterday, whining about not getting the ball. Just stop, bro. Just stop. I hate it.
It should never be about your individual numbers, obviously. Now, hey, the best teams are the ones that try to improve after victories, though.
Yeah.
You know, you still identify what went wrong. And that brings me to doo-doo this to wrap up this segment. Sacramento Kings.
Mega doo-doo.
Their head coach, Mike Brown, veteran head coach, Lakers, Cavs, former USD.
It's incredible.
He had a lot to say following the Kings' 141-97 win over the Utah Jazz.
Wow.
You know, you're going to be pretty happy. Just won by 44 points. But he also wanted to make a point that his team needs to continue to be methodical to keep improving offensively. He says, you don't need to go for the big moments. We just need to play consistently. And here's how he conveyed this message.
This was sent over to me under the caption of Mike Brown press conferences are now must-watch television.
We just need to be methodical by stacking or playing the right way possession after 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 possession
records
after possession after possession after possession
right
after possession after possession
my god
after possession after possession after possession after possession
my god
after possession after possession after possession after possession after possession after possession after possession. You guys,
he's done.
Know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, no, we get it.
You want the tally?
Yes. Do you have it?
I do.
Yeah, I kept
all right, hold on.
26.
Oh, I was gonna say 18.
I counted 25 as possession.
After
and then
possession.
25
after
possession.
Possession.
Petey Pablo says, is this real? Yes. Yeah. That's a real piece of audio.
It was not edited.
It was not edited.
Showed you guys the video. He's moving around and talking
live
at the same time. Like, that is real.
Point made. Methodical, consistent possession by possession basketball.
I don't see the thing on YouTube. It says, we'll begin momentarily. A video. Does that make sense? Should I just redo mine?
I don't know.
Let's take a break. We're done. That was Don't and Do This for Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and
we
Woods.
We believe most of our
the fan.
Technical issues are being cleared up, and hopefully they will all be cleared up when Sammy Levitt joins us from the winter meetings in Dallas. We will do that when we come back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Got to say, Sam Levitt is just doing some very impressive work. First day at the winter meetings yesterday, first full day at least, and he was all over the place. Loved the video content.
So good.
I was following our Twitter feed, his Twitter feed, Instagram, and then covering the press conferences, just talking to the insiders, talking to Mike Schill, talking to AJ Preller, and Sammy is standing by from Dallas, is going to join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And joining us live from the MLB Winter Meetings in Dallas, presented by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better, is our friend Sam Levitt in full video glory on our YouTube stream as well in the lobby from the Anatole Hilton in Dallas. Good morning, Sammy.
Hey, guys. Good morning. It is a nice morning here in Dallas. The lobby is very busy. As you can see on the YouTube stream, the beautiful Hilton Anatole with the rooms surrounding the main area here. So good to be with you on day two of these MLB winter meetings.
My big question, have you gone down the snow slide that they have in the lobby at the hotel that I saw on TV yesterday?
No, I have not gone down the snow slide. I have not physically seen anybody go down the snow slide. Now, it's on the opposite side of the hotel, so I don't go by it often. But I would go down the snow slide. Man, it's early here. I got to get the frog out of my throat. I would go down the snow slide, but we'll see if I get there before the end of Wednesday.
Yeah, you sound a little worse for wear, Sammy. You out drinking with Katie Wu last night, or what? What's happening?
No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No. I did go to Terry Black's last night.
What'd you think?
It was very, very good. I got a little bit of everything. Good. I got the I got a little brisket, which was very good. The ribs. I got two ribs, which was very good. What else did I get? I got the jalapeno cheddar sausage.
Amazing.
Also good. Cream corn,
yes.
Mac and cheese, green beans, and a peach cobbler. The cobbler was great. It was all very, very good. I did do something that you guys will not approve of, and that is...
You put ketchup on it.
Well, no. I really ran up the price because I really wasn't fully aware of how much I was getting. It ended up being like
it's very expensive. $40-something,
so it's I didn't expense it.
Come on. It's show
Thank
con-
you,
we're
Sammy.
Show content out of
Thank right you, Sammy.
Sammy, I'll give this Adam 20 bucks after the show, and that'll go towards it.
Well, just expense my yogurt parfait and my coffee this morning here at the hotel. So
fine.
This is how you stay on the good side of Mr. Klug.
Yeah, didn't you have just gotten a McRib at McDonald's? Yeah.
Isn't the McRib just the same as Terry Black's?
It was good. The cobbler in particular was very, very
It's amazing.
Good,
so, they got us all running scared in here to expense food on trips. Everyone in here is terrified of management at Odyssey. That's a problem. That's a problem. Juan Soto apparently didn't go to the Yankees because they wouldn't give him a suite. My man Sammy can't even expense a cobbler without being afraid of repercussions from management here.
I don't want to throw Adam under the bus. There was no communication about this.
Yeah, because you already know.
I don't have any sort of limits on me spring training. There's never numbers that are discussed. It's just a mutual understanding of what's reasonable. I've always stayed within range. Nobody's ever brought up any number to me or any issues.
What's that like?
I know. You wouldn't know. I think you guys spend more at spring training for the 4 days than I do in the 7 weeks.
There's no way. There's no way.
There is a way.
There's no way. It's not like we go crazy when we're out there.
We'll keep track this year.
Paulie, let's just eat out of garbage cans. From now on, we're just going to eat out of garbage cans. We'll steal stuff from the Padres place. Because every year, I got to go over my expense report with Adam with a fine-tooth comb. Every year, I'm getting nickel and dime. Juan Soto. He wanted a suite.
You're not a responsible young man like Sammy Leavitt
is.
What?
And I two things. I did lie a little bit. It was actually over $50, and people in the chat are saying $40 is
cheap pretty
cheap for all
there.
That. It was actually over $50, which is why I got really timid on doing it. And by the way, I don't know about you guys. I don't believe all that sweet stuff with Soto. Like the reality is that with the escalators, he was going to get like 50. Plus million
yeah.
more from it's, the Mets than the Yankees.
It's funny, though, because, and again, if you guys hadn't heard the story yet, John Heyman was reporting, and some other people were reporting, that Juan Soto, when he was, you know, negotiating with the Yankees, he said, I want a suite for my family. And they said, well, Derek Jeter paid for his own suite, and so did Aaron Judge. We're not about to give you a suite. That would set a bad precedent. Steve Cohen said, you can have this suite, no problem, and here's some extra money. And I mean, look, is it out of the realm of possibility? I don't really know how to feel about it. Part of me thinks, buddy, they just gave you $765 million. Do yourself a favor and buy four or five suites. You know what I mean? Like, put some money back into the team. But also, like, if a star wants that, if that's the breaking point or one of the breaking points, you just give it to them, I think.
Yeah. Look, when you're talking about that level of money, maybe those things do matter, right? How you got treated, things like a suite. So who knows? But whatever. We move on. Not really Padres related anymore.
Well, one thing that I saw coming out of the winter meetings, we're talking to Sammy Leavitt here on Ben and Woods this morning, is this. There's a little bit of interest in a former Padre, Jurickson Profar, and the team that is getting the most play on it is the New York Yankees. And I was seeing mock lineups come out yesterday with Jurickson Profar batting in the leadoff spot for the New York Yankees, and I went, oh, man, you know, obviously money to spend. We know that. They were about to spend $750 on Juan Soto. How do you feel about that as a fit, and do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, well, look, I think it would be a fit for the Yankees, and I think the chatter here from people I talked to yesterday is that the market is pretty robust for Jurickson Profar, and people expect he's going to get a multi-year deal, maybe upwards of, you know, a three-year deal, something along those lines, in $10-plus million per year. So when you understand that, when you hear those rumblings, A, I think for the Yankees he may be a fit, but B, if the Padres have interest in keeping him, and especially under perhaps the financial constraints that A.J. Preller is working with, you do start to wonder about that reunion. But it certainly seems like he's drawing a lot of interest, Jurickson Profar, and rightfully so. He played himself into that spot.
Talking to Sam Leavitt live from the winter meetings in Dallas. And Sammy, I would say it was your reporting yesterday. That before yesterday, there was a couple of outliers like Jim Bowden who said, I think the Padres might have a chance at Roky Sasaki. But for the most part, everyone was just saying it's Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers. Yesterday, though, you talked to a number of people, and I started hearing a lot more Padres talk. Do you think that's because they were talking to you? Are you sensing a genuine change that people around baseball do feel like it's at least kind of an even fight?
I would say the people I talked to yesterday certainly felt like the Padres and Dodgers were the front runners. I don't know if they're putting the Padres on the same level as the Dodgers to get them. You know, somebody said yesterday to me, like, you know, could the Padres steal them away? So, and it was kind of that phrasing. So, I'm not totally sure if people are looking at it like they're on equal footing right now in that race for Sasaki, but, you know, pretty clear, I think, that the Padres are serious players, and they are there with the Dodgers as maybe the most two serious players. You know, look, I asked A.J. Preller yesterday, Ben, your question about what the process would look like with Sasaki now, and A.J. essentially said that, look, it's going to be, you know, him and his representative sort of leading the process, and now they move forward with the official posting. But I get the sense the Padres are really serious players, and obviously they're very interested. Mike Schilt was very, I thought, open yesterday about how much they want him and what the Padres could bring and how serious they are about it. So obviously he would be a major, major get. And I do get the sense that they're very serious players. How that relates to the Dodgers and their level of seriousness, I don't quite know, but it certainly seems like the Padres have a real shot at this guy.
Any other names that you're hearing connected with the Padres? I saw one name yesterday in reliever, Jonathan Loaisiga, maybe that they were kind of kicking the tires on. I know A.J. Preller told you they made some offers on catchers, just haven't gotten any of them.
Yeah, well, I thought that was pretty interesting yesterday. And again, when A.J. calls it a very competitive offer to Higashioka, I don't know what exactly that means. Is that, you know, so where were they short, right, of the Rangers offer? Was it years? Was it money? I don't know that. It was interesting to hear him say, to your point, Ben, that they've been involved with every catcher that's come off the board. Now, with that said, it's not like these guys are making $15 million a year. I mean, we're looking at Gary Sanchez and Danny Jansen get, you know, $8, $9 million per year. So I don't know if that's a reflection on where the Padres are as far as what they're willing to spend right now. But look, I guess you could look at it two ways. It could be a positive that they're in the conversations. Could be a negative that they're not landing those players. They're not making the offers to land them. But I will say, I thought it was clear yesterday, they are not done at catcher. I mean, AJ so much has said it, that they're going to have to supplement that position either via trade or via free agency. And he mentioned Camposano, he mentioned Sullivan, but thought it was pretty clear yesterday that they're going to do something there. I think the question is, what level of that something do they do? And we'll find out over the coming weeks.
Sammy, we will look forward to more of your reports later today on our other programs. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning from Dallas. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
It. Thanks.
That sounded like a delicious meal.
Yeah.
And you know what? For $50 for ribs, brisket, sausage,
green beans,
mac and cheese, green beans,
cream corn,
cobbler. And cobbler. It's elite.
Terry Black's is elite.
It's a good meal. It's a good meal right there.
Yeah, he earned it. It's on him.
He's earned everything. He's working very hard.
He is.
All day long.
You should send him back, and we'll pick up the bill.
I'll just spend my own $50.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
All right, we will come back now that we got our YouTube stream back. Woods has got all of his
Temu
order.
It came in on time.
I've been waiting for this all day.
I am so excited to show you guys everything we got.
Next year on 97.3 The Fan.